Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Sev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss the lockdown again this week because it really is an important lesson for us in how leaders that are evil and that want power can do terrible things to society, and how people can be easily fooled into accepting decisions that are actually disastrous. The lockdown is a disastrous decision that will have terrible consequences for society if it continues, and if leaders are permitted to continue this attack on the Western economy and on the world economy, it could have terrible consequences. And we want to discuss that because, again, there are lessons to be learned here. Lessons also that are important for the Jewish people and for Israel, because the Jewish people and Israel also have terrible leaders. They have not continued the lockdown in Israel because, thankfully, Baruch Hashem, thank God, the virus did not strike Israel the same way it struck the United States. There were much fewer cases and much fewer deaths. But, nevertheless, the leaders of Israel have made many other decisions over the years that have been absolutely catastrophic. So, this is an important lesson for us in how foolish it is for people who think, oh, they must know better because he's the president, or he's the prime minister, he's the prime minister of Israel, or he's a general, he must know better, or he's the president, he must know better, or they're experts. No, you should not automatically trust the so-called experts or the politicians or the leaders or the so-called respectable people. You should not automatically trust them because usually the decisions they make are wrong. Historically, most of the decisions that they make are actually wrong. So let's discuss it from the standpoint of this lockdown now. We've had a lockdown now for more than 2 months. We're going to be going on 3 months soon. And I'm talking about the lockdown here in the United States. And the lockdown is in full force where I am. I'm in New York. States like New York, California, left-wing states with left-wing Democrat governors, the lockdown is in full force. And we're going to discuss what this lockdown has been doing. Now, of course, the purpose of the lockdown is supposedly to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Now, that obviously is a good objective, to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Nobody wants the coronavirus to spread. Obviously, we want to do everything we can to protect people as best we can and to have policies that are as sensible as possible, obviously. Social distancing in general is a good idea when you have an epidemic like this or a pandemic like this. And other precautions that people might take, like wearing masks or wearing gloves or washing your hands frequently, those things are sensible. Those are things that really should be followed. They are sensible things. But to close down the entire economy is complete madness. And we discussed on a prior program 2 weeks ago what some of the consequences are, but now we have more statistics in order to back up what we've been saying, in order to show just how devastating it is. First of all, there is a letter that has been written by Dr. Simon Gold of Los Angeles. And Dr. Simon Gold of Los Angeles, a Jewish doctor, wrote a letter that was signed by hundreds of other doctors to President Trump, urging him to put an end to the lockdown. Now, President Trump legally doesn't really have the authority to do that. It's in the hands of governors. It's in the hands of the states, which is why people like Dr. Gold in Los Angeles are unfortunate, because he happens to have a left-wing governor who intends to oppress the people of California with his insane socialist policies. But, nevertheless, the letter from the doctors outlines some of the horrific consequences of this lockdown, something which we told you about we've been telling you about consistently on these programs. We've been saying this. Now doctors are signing letters and petitions saying what we've said on this program from the beginning, which is that this lockdown can cause tremendous death and suffering, can have a devastating impact on society that will be far worse than the pandemic itself. The coronavirus pandemic, it probably will kill over 100,000 Americans, and it certainly has a very tragic virus that with very serious consequences, no question about it. But the lockdown will be far more devastating. And here are some statistics that show you what the lockdown has been doing. Calls to hotlines that help people that are in trouble. Calls, for instance, to the suicide hotlines. There are hotlines people can call if, God forbid, they want to commit suicide. Incidentally, committing suicide is a terrible sin. If you want to have a place in the next world, you don't commit suicide. The only time you can kill yourself is if you're about to be captured by an enemy and they're about to do something that would be even a greater tragedy. If you're going to be captured by an enemy and you might give up information that's important to your people, then you can kill yourself. Or if they're going to do something else to you, they're going to force you, for instance, to worship other gods, which we're not allowed to do even upon pain of death, then you can commit suicide, which Jews have done historically. But unless it's a situation like that, with that type of gravity, a situation that meets that level of gravity, you are not permitted to commit suicide under any circumstances. You do not have the right to take your own life. God gave you this life, and you have to live this life to the fullest. You're required to live this life to the fullest and take advantage of every second in this world in order to try to make this a better world with whatever opportunity you have, with whatever tools you have available to you. And everybody has some tools available to make their surrounding a better world, to make their surrounding a better surrounding. So suicide is absolutely forbidden. Let's start off by making that clear. Calls to the suicide hotlines are up since the lockdown by 600%. 600%. That means they're getting 7 times as many calls from people who are considering committing suicide as before the lockdown. And calls to hotlines for drug addicts or calls to alcoholic hotlines, calls to other hotlines for other addictions and other dangerous behaviors and other very destructive behaviors are way up. Some of them 200, 300, 400%. The suicide hotline is 600%. So we're seeing a devastating impact. We're seeing the possibility of massive new numbers of alcoholics and drug addicts and people with mental problems. Very, very serious problems for society that go way beyond 100,000 deaths in the virus. As tragic as 100,000 deaths is, every human life is valuable, and even one death is a tragedy. But we're talking about numbers far greater than that who will be suffering horrific consequences because of this. And that will affect all of society. Because there are already tens of millions of Americans who have addiction problems, who either have a drug problem or an alcohol problem. And when I say drug problem, I don't necessarily mean somebody who's a heroin addict or a cocaine addict or a crack addict. Crack is an old drug that was used in the 80s and 90s primarily, but I don't necessarily mean somebody who has a habit where they're shooting all types of very dangerous drugs into their veins. I'm talking about people, many millions of people who are addicted to drugs that doctors give them, that doctors prescribe for them, and they're addicted to them, and the drugs are destroying their lives. Many millions of Americans are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to gambling, compulsive gamblers, addicted to sex, addicted to money and materialism in a way which is obsessive and even insane. There are tens of millions of Americans who have addictions that are destructive, that are corrosive, that completely take over their lives and make it impossible for them to live and function as normal human beings. And this lockdown will not only worsen their addictions in most cases, But it will create many new addicts, many new people who, weak people, for whatever reason, because they can't stand it anymore, they want to try something new, are going to experiment with all types of things. There are weak people out there who will do crazy things, who will put chemicals in their body that are poisonous, like narcotics, or who will start drinking, or will do other things. There are weak people out there that do these things. There are people out there that will smoke, there may be some people who will be smoking more, or will start smoking, which is also suicide. That's suicide. Smoking cigarettes is suicide. Using narcotics is suicide. Being an alcoholic is suicide. And you're going to have millions of new alcoholics and drug addicts and smokers and people that are addicted to food and overeating and eating unhealthy foods. You're going to have millions of new people who are hooked on these things in a way that destroys their lives if this lockdown continues. Who knows how many new cases we already have in all of these areas? We're talking about millions of people here. Not 100,000, but millions. $150,000 Americans are missing their routine cancer screenings every month. 150,000 Americans are not going to get screened for cancer every month. Women for breast cancer, men for the cancers that men have. And just cancers in general. I mean, people could have skin cancer, the summer's coming. All types of cancers. 150,000 people who are supposed to be getting routine cancer screenings are not getting those cancer screenings every month because they're afraid they're going to get infected by the virus, or because they're just worried about the virus and nobody's worried about cancer anymore, which is much more deadly than the virus. Cancer kills millions of people. Cancer is a terrible, deadly disease that kills millions of people. And if you have cancer, if you have the virus, at the most, you probably have a 1% chance of dying. At the most, probably, and maybe even less. Many people are asymptomatic completely. They'll have no effect. Most people will just have mild or moderate symptoms. Only about 1% will actually die. And of course, that's terrible. It's a tragedy. But 1% will die from the coronavirus. Cancer, the figures are much higher, depending on which type of cancer, obviously. And there are types of cancer where 80-90% of the people who have it die. Lo aleinu, shelo neda. Lo aleinu means it shouldn't be upon us. Shelo neda means we shouldn't know. These are things we say to Hashem, that we say to God when we speak of such horrible things like cancer. And by the way, when I speak of cancer screenings, cancer is not the number one killer of Americans. Number one killer is heart attack and heart disease. That's the number one killer of Americans. More people will die of heart attacks and heart disease than cancer. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the second highest killer is stroke. So, and people are not getting checked. They're not getting their hearts checked. Certainly not getting their routine annual medical exams. They're not getting those things. Huge numbers of people, millions of people are just not getting them anymore. And many of these people are facing very serious danger because of that. They don't have a doctor to advise them if something's wrong. There may be something very wrong. There may be something very wrong with their heart. They may be on the verge of having a heart attack, God forbid, or a stroke, God forbid. Or they may have developed cancer, God forbid, or the beginnings of cancer, God forbid. And as you know, early detection is the way to is the best hope for preventing cancer from becoming fatal. But people are not getting checked. Millions of people could die because of this. Millions of people could wind up dying because of this. And then hundreds of millions of people are getting less exercise, are eating more, are gaining weight and eating more because they're in the house all day, they're around food, they have nothing better to do, they're not out doing the things they always did. They're eating more, they're eating less healthy food, and they're not exercising. Now, that's not true of everybody. There are some people who are very disciplined and who understand that you can't allow a situation like this to do that. You can't, you've got to continue to eat healthy, even though sometimes it's harder to find the foods you want in the supermarket, you just gotta you gotta look and you gotta find alternatives. But you have to eat healthy. You know, if we want to talk about eating healthy, just for a moment, just if I can get a little bit off the topic for a moment and to speak about eating healthy. It is so important. It is so important for people to eat things like kale or spinach, for instance. Either kale or spinach are the superfoods that give you the things you need to survive. I mean, they are really the ultimate examples of good food. Kale, if you like kale, I love kale and spinach. I love them both. And if they're raw, they're even better. Cooked is also, if you want to eat it cooked, you still get benefits, but a certain amount of the nutrients are lost when you cook it. If you can eat it raw, I love kale with lemon juice. I eat kale salad every day. I have a salad. I have a salad with plenty of kale and lemon juice every day. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't like the kale, sometimes has a little bit of a bitter taste. If you don't like the taste of kale, for whatever reason you don't like it, I love it. But if you don't like the taste of kale, with lemon juice, it is delicious. It is delicious. Spinach with lemon juice is delicious. Raw spinach is delicious. And so healthy. I mean, really, it's a superfood. It is very, very healthy. There are delicious fruits you could eat that are very healthy. You know, pineapples and blueberries. They're so sweet. They're so delicious. They're bananas. They're such beautiful fruits that God has created, that Hashem has put in the world for us. And they're so good for you. They're so healthy. Of course, you can overdo anything. I'm not saying overdo it. But you should have a certain amount of kale or spinach every day. A certain amount. A certain amount servings, reasonable servings of fruit every day, especially the super fruits. When I say super fruits, in other words, the fruits that really give you a tremendous amount of nutrition and really, really guard your body and really build up your immune system. If you don't want to get the virus, having a stronger immune system increases your chance of avoiding getting the virus and avoiding getting cancer and heart disease and all these other, you know, the stronger your immune system is, the better chance you have against all bad things that can happen to you. I love to drink juice. That you shouldn't overdo, because juice, even if it's 100% pure juice, the problem with juice is it doesn't have the fiber. In other words, the fruits and the vegetables themselves, they give you the fiber. The fiber is very important for you. When you juice it, it takes the fiber out. And so you get this big surge of sugar. So there's a lot of sugar in juices. That's why I don't drink orange juice, because there's just too much sugar in it. And I'm speaking about orange juice with no sugar added, and juices with no sugar added. But if you're sensible and you limit it, for instance, I drink maybe 5 ounces of pomegranate juice every day. 100% pure pomegranate juice. And it used to be very expensive. It used to be $13, $14 for a 32-ounce bottle. Now you can get it for $4 or $5 for a 32-ounce bottle. And I'll drink about 5 ounces of pomegranate juice every day. I won't go over that, because if you go over that, you're getting too much sugar. And you don't get the fiber. But the juice itself, I think the best juice you can get is pomegranate juice. And the juice you get, there are other juices, of course, that are also very healthy. Again, as long as there's no sugar added, 100% pure juice. And don't overdo it, because juice has a lot of sugar and doesn't have the fiber. So don't overdo it. But juice will also give you will also be healthy for you. By the way, nuts are very healthy, almonds and peanuts. And without any oil, without any salt, without anything, just dry roasted peanuts, for instance. And again, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. You just eat a handful. That's enough. You want to eat a handful a day? That's good for you. You go over that, you start going over the limits, there can be problems. It's not healthy. Once you go over the limit with some of these things, it's not healthy. Also, by the way, drinking the pomegranate juice, You should drink it. You shouldn't drink it at night before you go to sleep because it can cause tooth decay. That's one of the bad problems of that type of fruit. It dries your teeth. Anything that dries your mouth, if you have dry mouth at night, that can cause tooth decay, and tooth decay can lead to very serious illnesses. Tooth decay is not just a matter of that I don't want to have dentures and I don't want to have dental problems. It's worse than that. People who have their own teeth live longer and are usually healthier. Tooth decay and losing your teeth can affect other aspects of your body's health. So it's very important to try to preserve your teeth. I mean, I could go on and on. I could do a whole show, and I've done whole shows on this. And I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. But I'm just telling you. But I read. I read what the. I'll give you an example of how you can know. Even though what are you say, well, who are you, Chaim? You're not a nutritionist. You're not a doctor. Who are you? Are you an expert? What are you now? You know, the Upper West Side Jews. You know, that's the first thing they'll say to you. I'm not an expert, but I read what the experts say. I read what it says. You could go to the Mayo Clinic and the various websites that will tell you, that give you a lot of information about the nutritional value of foods. And you have to, and you know, there is a bias sometimes in some of the things they say, and you have to use wise judgment even when reading, and sometimes you see contradictory things. So you just have to use your judgment. You just got to be smart about what you do. But there's certain things that you know I think that there's universal agreement that kale is healthy. I think there's pretty much universal agreement that spinach is healthy. Certain things, I mean, there's pretty universal agreement on. Now, getting back to our subject here, hundreds of millions of Americans, as we've said on prior programs, with less exercise, gaining weight, eating unhealthy foods, those are habits that will kill many, many people, God forbid. Many people will die because of that. Many more than from this virus. And that is what the lockdown does. If you're not getting exercise, and by the way, even if you are locked down, I urge everyone in this audience, I urge all of our good JTFers, if you're an anti-Semite, I urge you not to listen to what I'm going to say now. If you're an anti-Semite, eat garbage, smoke, take drugs, take alcohol, jump off a building. If you're an anti-Semite, you can do all those things. But if you're a good Jew or righteous Gentile, I urge you, no matter what the circumstances are, to always try to get your exercise. Always try to get exercise. Always try to keep your body in shape. Always eat healthy. Always research so that you know what's healthy. And don't research quack sites. Okay? Research reputable sites that do reputable scientific research and medical research. You know, real sites. And try to live a sensible, intelligent life. That means no eating cake, no eating cookies, no eating ice cream, no eating garbage foods. No eating fried foods. You want chicken? No fried chicken under any circumstances, and chicken without the skin, boiled or broiled. It's delicious. But you got to take the skin off. The skin is not healthy. Again, this is going to take up the whole show once I start down this line. So let me move on. The danger here is very real, and children are not going to school, and they're staying home, and they're learning these bad habits, and that means they're going to grow into these bad habits. And as adults, they're going to be obese, and they're going to have diabetes, and they're going to have heart problems, and they're going to have other problems. They're going to be lazy and not do exercise and sit in front of their computer all day, and not get up and do exercise and not do other things that are necessary. That's very, very bad. To teach kids and to teach young people bad habits early in life, those habits set in and they're very hard to break later on in life. Many people will pay a very dear price if this continues. And so this lockdown will cost millions of lives, many millions of lives, if God forbid it continues like this. We cannot afford the lockdown. Is there always a certain risk if you open things up more? And when I'm saying open things up, certainly, certainly important things you should open up. I mean, the really important things you should be opening up that are important for people. Elective surgeries and going to doctors again, that should be completely open. People who need to go to a doctor, people who need to go to a dentist, people who need to do something that involves health. Health clubs and gyms, they should be opened again. With precautions and with social distancing and masks or whatever, you know, whatever else you want to do. But people should be allowed to work out, exercise, get healthy food. Closing that down is insane. Closing those things down are insane. That certainly is not going to help people. I mean, of course, there are other things, that, you know, for convenience. We all, you know, there's certain people. I mean, I'd love to be able to go to a barber. Look at my hair's getting longer every week on this show, if you notice. I already look like an old hippie. I'm going to be 64 years old, and my hair is growing longer and longer. I haven't gotten a haircut in months now. So I already, you know, I look like an old bag like me going around with long hair. I look like a hippie. So, of course... I mean, of course, there are things of convenience that we wish we had. I'm not saying that those are the priority. A barber is not the priority. But certainly there are other things that are the priority. I think a gym. I think places where people work out and exercise. I think that is a priority. I think people should have places to work out. Places where people do exercise. Places where people might get a healthy meal. Those are places that should be opened, even if there is a risk. Those are places where the risk of not opening it is much greater. Far outweighs the damage done, far outweighs any benefit of keeping people apart or not having people go to those places. And we see here that, you know, we have an upcoming election in November, and Donald Trump favors ending the lockdown, and favors, for whatever his reasons are, he favors opening things up, and he's right about it. And Joe Biden, the socialist, Joe Biden, the socialist left-wing Democrat, wants to continue the policies of New York and California and Massachusetts and other states and New Jersey that are suffocating people with these lockdowns. And Michigan. Biden wants to continue all of this. By the way, I have to mention this. Again, it's a little bit off the main topic here, but I got to mention it. Joe Biden is a gaffe machine. Every sentence out of his mouth, I mean, just makes so many mistakes. He is so unprepared to do anything. He is I wouldn't hire him to be a janitor to clean toilets. I wouldn't hire him. And this is a guy who wants to be president of the United States, the most important leader in the world. I mean, he's a complete gaffe machine. He's senile. He doesn't know what the hell. He's just completely. If you listen to the way he speaks, it's just unbelievable. His figures, when he uses math, or his figures are so off the wall. He is so out of touch with reality. And the media covers up all of his mistakes. But this week he made a mistake that the media couldn't cover up anymore. Because he dared to offend one of the groups that you can never offend, blacks. He said, "You ain't black if you're going to support Trump. You ain't black." Oh, blacks! First of all, blacks don't want white people telling them anything. Because blacks, how dare you? You don't know what it is to be black. You don't know. You never had this experience. Thank God we don't know. But anyway, you don't know. And I'm saying thank God, not because it's such a terrible experience. Thank God, because I wouldn't want to be a hateful, jealous person with a low IQ who gets jobs solely because of the color of his or her skin. And I'm not. And again, I don't hate black people because of the color of their skin. I couldn't care less about the color of their skin. The color of someone's skin does not interest me. What interests me is if someone is righteous or evil. And most blacks. Are Jew haters, even though the Jews are the ones that fought and gave them civil rights and did everything for them and owed them nothing, and gave that Schwerner and Goodman were murdered fighting for blacks, black rights in the South. Jews gave their lives fighting for blacks, and the blacks responded by being the most jealous, hateful, evil, Jew-hating scum in the United States, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And yes, on YouTube, I could never say that. That the video would automatically be taken down on YouTube if I told the truth. Because YouTube is run by self-hating Jews who support the enemies of their own people. And if the people were offended by what I'm saying, screw you if you're offended by the truth. Screw you filthy pigs. And you are filthy pigs. If you defend the behavior of a people who were rescued by the Jews, who the Jewish brains and Jewish money and Jewish public relations people and Jewish efforts that made the civil rights movement a success. Blacks on their own could never have succeeded. They don't have the brains or the talent or the ability to succeed in doing something like that. It was the Jews who are public relations geniuses and experts who gave them the ideas and the initiatives and the that was all Jewish brain power there. Without the Jews, they would have gotten nowhere. And the Jews did this for them. Did for them what they with the Jew the disgusting that the Jews helped them. It's disgusting. The Jews did for them what the Jews never did for their own people. 6 million Jews are murdered during the Holocaust. American Jews did nothing to save the 6 million Jews during the Holocaust and could have prevented the Holocaust if American Jews had done 1% of what they did for the blacks in this country. There would not have been a Holocaust. But anyway, after all of this, you got this vicious anti-Semitism from these people, and the hatred and the jealousy, the ugly hatred and jealousy. And the Jews never stop kissing their dirty black behinds. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just disgusting. Disgusting. It's about time someone told the truth about that. It's about time someone told the truth. Now, Biden this week, he dared to say something that blacks didn't like. So, finally, the media gave a little attention to the fact that Biden is making mistakes when he speaks, that he made a gaffe. This was every other gaffe. I mean, he's made much worse gaffes than this. Much worse. And the media has covered them up and ignored them and buried them. But he dared to say something that offended the blacks. We're all supposed to worship the blacks. We're all supposed to burn incense around them and bow down to them and kiss their tuchuses. We're all supposed to do this. So because he dared to say something that offended the holy blacks, where all of a sudden the media couldn't ignore. They have to make an issue of that. What, boy, what an evil country this has become. What an evil country. All the evil people are worshipped in this country. The blacks, the sodomite homosexual deviants, all the evil people are worshipped. The Muslims, you're not allowed to say anything about Muslims. The one religion that the media, that the atheists in the media support is Islam. Islam they like. You're not allowed to say anything against Islam. Islamophobia. You're not allowed to say anything about Islam. And all these atheists, whom the Muslims would kill in 2 seconds, all defend the Muslims. Every other religion they knock and ridicule and attack and step on and spit upon. Islam's the one religion that you're not allowed. No, that that's a sacred religion to the news media and to Hollywood and to all the other sick, evil people. And so, we've got a situation this November. I don't even know what the situation is going to be in terms of the election. You know, they mailed to my home, at least. I don't know if you've gotten it, but they mailed absentee ballots. I don't trust the absentee ballots. I don't trust these Schwarzes, these black Jew haters whom the Board of Elections in New York hire. I don't trust them to honestly count the ballots. Do you? I mean, give me a break. I remember in 2008 when Obama was first running, when Barack Hussein Osama was first running for president in 2008, and I went there with other people in my family. We went there to vote, and they said, "No, you don't vote here." You know, no. They tried to turn us away from we were in the right precinct, and they tried to vote turn us away and say we don't vote there and create and deliberately tried. They did real voter suppression. Okay, they were all black, all the workers there, and they did real at the voting polls, at the voting booths. And they did real voter suppression. The blacks, automatically, they had no problem. Every white, especially Orthodox Jews, because Orthodox Jews vote Republican, every Orthodox Jew that went there, they tried to turn away. And some people were turned away because they thought that, you know, listen, they're saying, because some people are so stupid, they don't realize that these people are completely dishonest, they're pathological liars. And so they went away and they never even voted because of it. And I know people who mailed ballots. I know people who tried to get registered. They were told, you want to register to vote? You got to send in this a postcard and so on. There was a procedure. And I know people who did this, who sent in a postcard to register. And the Board of Elections said, we never got your postcard. We never got it. Because they wanted to register as Republicans. They just ripped up the postcard. So I don't trust the mail-in voting. I think Trump is right about that as well. And I'm not a fan of Trump, but on these issues, he's right. And he is certainly preferable to Joe Biden and the Democrats. You know, this week, a Jewish hero, an innocent Jew who was a hero to the Jewish people, a young Jew in Israel, was found guilty of killing three Arabs. I almost said three blacks, because we were constantly hearing about blacks, black, you know. But was found guilty of killing three Arabs in Israel. And he so obviously is not guilty, and they tortured him to get the confession out of him. And they got a confession after they tortured him. And he now is facing the prospect of life in prison. There's so much injustice in the world. So much injustice. Meanwhile, Arabs who have slaughtered incredible numbers of Jews, are not only walking around free in Israel, but are given billions of dollars in assistance, like Mahmoud Abbas Abu Mazen, who was Arafat, who together with Arafat slaughtered thousands of Jews. And this Jew, this young Jew, is facing life in prison. There are other Jews who are in prison for the rest of their lives because they wanted to defend the Jewish people, and they didn't kill any Arabs. It's just a lie. But they were part of movements or a philosophy of Jews defending themselves and keeping their own land, and so they were framed for doing that. JTF is telling the truth to the Jews of Israel. JTF has five videos which we're advertising, which reach tens of thousands of Israeli Jews every single week. We're reaching thousands of Jews every day in Israel with our Hebrew videos. And it may not be much, it's just five videos and they're all short. Some of them are 1 minute, some of them are close to 3 minutes, from 1 to 3 minutes. But we're reaching the people of Israel with a message of truth. We're trying to wake people up and we're trying to bring truth to people. And that's something that is worth doing. Because someday there will be justice. And someday the good guys will win. And someday the Jews that wanted justice against Arab terrorism and Arab mass murder, and someday the Jews that wanted justice against black anti-Semitism in the United States, someday the good Jews, they're the Jews that will be running things for the Jewish people someday. That will happen someday. But until that day comes, we've got to pave the way by bringing some truth to people, by at least waking people up and bringing a message of truth and hope to people. And that's what we're doing on our videos. That's what JTF does. It's a politically incorrect message, and it's a truthful message. And we're the only ones that are doing it. Right now, we're the only ones that are doing it, unfortunately, tragically. So that's who you're with right now when you're with JTF. If you work with us and support us and fight with us, that's what you're fighting for. A truth that no one else will tell, a truth that must be told if we're going to save this world and if we're going to do what God wants us to do, and the reason God has put us into this world, to make this a better world and to stand for truth and justice and righteousness. That's what we're working on. And so let's remember that if we work together as a team, we can make a difference and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.